Probably not the smartest move to eat a cookie right before I come up here and try to talk, but it was worth it. They were good. That was a fun picnic. You guys should have come. So glad you're here on this rather remarkable April 20 day. Still remarkable to me, but probably not to you guys. But a nice, beautiful, snowy day. Not what I had in mind. I always love, so when I come here, I turn on, what's the name of that road? I can't remember. I come down Broadway, and then I turn where the hospital used to be that they tore down, whatever the name of that road is. I turn there, and then there's that park right in front of you, and then I go left, and then I come up Maxwell to the church. And I love to go to that park because it is the perfect reflection of Boulder people. Because I came by that park a few days ago, and they were sunbathing. And today they'll probably get their cross-country skis out before the day's up. So, and on other evenings when I'm going home, they're out there frisbee football and all these different kinds of things. There's one guy puts up a slack line on the whole thing. And anyway, it's fun to see how people, you know, they just make the best of whatever it is. And there's a real lesson in that. And I appreciate that about this town. People are going to find a way to get outside one way or another. So that's an awesome thing. Good to see you today. Alicia's not here today because she's actually speaking at Chapel Haven today. So she's not with us. But praying for her, that will be a good time. Chapel Haven, of course, is our co-constituent church for Vista Ridge Academy. So we appreciate them being involved in that, and Pastor Hernandez, who leads out over there, appreciate him very much. So, all right, let's pray. Father in heaven, we pray that you'll be with us today, Lord, as this is one of the more important services that we have as we reflect on your life, death, resurrection, and return. Lord, may we in our actions today testify to that faith. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm just going to make a few comments here, and then we'll go into our communion process. We'll have the foot washing down the hall for those that want to participate there. Then we'll come back in here to receive the emblems. I'll give you instructions on all of that as we go along. But that's how we'll go today. Then we'll do our songs at the end like we usually do. But I want to start with a text, Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Now, a couple things here. First of all, Paul's not saying if everything's perfect. That's not the standard. The standard for engagement, the standard for fellowship, the standard for togetherness is not perfection. The standard is if there's any at all. If you've got any encouragement in the context of Christ and the people of Christ, any comfort from God's love or from your brothers and sisters, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, not all, any, then Paul says, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and in one mind. It's an easy concept, this idea of being in accord and of one mind. It's an easy concept to understand. It's nearly impossible to execute because we don't have one mind. Some of you have three or four, but we don't have one mind together. It's very difficult to be in full accord and of one mind. I would love for what Paul's saying here to mean we should look forward to the day when we will be in complete agreement. I would love that to be what he means. But I don't think he does. Because in this very church of Philippians that he's writing this letter, and this is a letter that in general is filled with love and goodness and praise and happiness, and he's glad for them, even in this community that's doing well. This isn't Corinth. This isn't the train wreck that is Corinth all the time. This is Philippians. This is the Philippi. This is the city where they do well. Even in this one, he says, I urge you, Eudoria and Syntyche, to get along. Even in this church where it's all good, there are things, there are issues. So he can't be, when he's saying full accord in one mind, he can't be saying complete agreement on everything. He has to be saying something more. And I think what he means is to be connected at a deep level more strongly than we are divided at the surface. Connected deep, even if we can't agree on the surface. Philippians 2, verse 3, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. This is not to say abandon your interests because other people have other interests. It's to say that understand that the life of the church will always be a balancing of interests. And if we are to stay together, we're going to have to do that sometimes. Now, this is very difficult when the issues at stake seem to be more than superficial, more than surface, and they run to the level of offending basic and deeply held values. I'm not suggesting that Paul is saying we should abandon our convictions, but rather I believe it means, as Paul says in another place, Romans 12, verse 18, if possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. If possible, as far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all, which to me means if someone is willing to be at peace with you, let them, even if you disagree with them. I kind of have this theory in life. If somebody wants to be nice to me, I let them. It's a strict rule with me. I let that happen. If somebody's willing, let them, even if you disagree with them. If someone is willing to disagree with you yet still be kind, be kind. It doesn't say agree. As far as you are able, as much as it depends on you, live peaceably. As long as no one's threatening you with violence, don't threaten them with violence. As long as someone is being gracious, be gracious. As long as someone is extending a hand, put yours out as well. I think this is what Paul is saying. Philippians 2, verse 5, have this mind among yourselves. Where do we come up with this idea? Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is what the communion service is all about. This is us recognizing what Jesus has done for us and testifying through action that we bow our knees at his name and that we confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is what we're doing. We're taking the emblems today that are the symbol of the broken body and the blood of Jesus, and we're receiving them into ourselves so that the reality of Jesus figuratively becomes a part of who we are, so that we might also receive the mind of Christ. He said, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, because if we can receive that, even if we can't see our way to complete agreement on everything, we can at least share that one mind, the mind of Christ. Why? Well, for sure to be saved, yes, but also so that we might come to know the mystery of Christian community and become the people who are known by their love for one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, that you love one another. Not that you agree, not that you have singularity of mind, but that you love one another. Kind of like this. Acts chapter 2, verse 37. And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So, if you haven't been baptized, let's make a point and get that done, because that's part of what God has called us to do. And in that, you receive a gift of the Holy Spirit. Verse 39, for the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, even whom the Lord our God calls to himself. Peter on that day didn't understand the fullness of what he was saying, but he's literally talking about us here, because the promise is for you, those who heard him, and your children, that first generation that didn't hear him, and those who are far off, both in terms of distance and in terms of generations. And we are definitely far off from Peter's generation. But these words are still for us. Verse 40, and with many other words he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Now, I know this is an idyllic description of an experience that even for them didn't last forever. I mean, for one thing, eventually the church was too large for there to be that singularity of relationship. And then beyond that, eventually it was displaced by distance. So if you lived in Antioch, you weren't going to have dinner with the people in Jerusalem every evening. That's not a thing. But it is an idyllic description of what can be sometimes. And it is a target for us to look out. Now, even at this point, they're doing some things that aren't going to happen anymore. They're still going to the temple. Well, we know the temple didn't matter anymore. They were just still coming to that. They didn't understand all that. Temple wasn't even going to be there in a few years. It was going to be destroyed. But yet, as they could, they were gathering. And I think the heart of this is more contained within the determination to fellowship. They devoted themselves to the teaching and fellowship and breaking bread and prayers and house to house. They shared food with generous hearts, and they were giving, and they viewed themselves as a people together. Now, of course, you just go four chapters down and you're going to find out that even amongst this group, there were core issues. They're going to divide themselves down a cultural line. On one side, Hellenized Jews, and on the other side, Orthodox Jews. So they were like us, yet they had this season. We're going to be spending time in the book of Acts coming forward. Pastor Molly's going to kick this off next Sabbath when she speaks from the book of Acts. And we're going to spend several weeks in the book of Acts. She and I are going to do this series together. She laid it all out, put it all together. It's awesome. I'm excited. So she's going to start that, and then we'll do that for several weeks going forward as we talk about the church. They had their breakdown. The first one that developed was Hellenized Jews, Orthodox Jews. And we have our own lines of breakdown, and we feel them as strongly as they did. But community in Jesus is more than that. Remember, even the disciples were at odds with each other the night that Jesus wrapped a towel around his waist and took a basin and washed their feet, an event that we'll commemorate here in a moment with the ordinance of humility. But here's what I want to say to you. Today, we come to one table. We're going to take this one table and we're going to put it right here in the middle. And myself and Pastor Molly are going to sit up here and we're going to read the traditional text and we're going to say the prayers and then we're going to distribute the emblems that represent the body of Christ. We're not going to have a table over here for people who feel one way and a table over here for people who feel another way. We've got one table because we have one Lord. Today we come to one table, and that one table holds the emblems that represents the core of our faith, that Jesus died for our sins, rose again, and will soon come to gather us to himself. And maybe on that day, maybe on that day, he will give us the answers to all the things that divide us now, and we'll finally figure out who was right and who was wrong. Or maybe he never will. Regardless, until then we have one table, and we all come to the one table as equals. May God bless us as together we this day proclaim Jesus' death and resurrection, and may the Spirit of God inhabit this service and all of us. In Jesus' name, amen. So we will go now. Those of you who wish to participate, out this door, down the hall to the community room where the deacons are there and have set up for you basins with water there. I will come over there and join you. If anyone has questions about this process and how it goes, I'll be glad to explain it. But I think most of you know how that goes, but I will be there. If you're unclear, there's deacons there who can help you, and as well as I'll be there too. So let us at this time make our way down for that. As soon as you're done, come right back here and we will continue with the service. Thank you. I think most of the group is back. We move on to the next part of this service, and you probably know where we've traditionally, when we have this service, we read out of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Maybe you didn't know that's where it is, but 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the words that are very familiar to you, which we're going to read in a moment, but sometimes we're used to a section of the Bible, we hear it, we kind of think we know what it's about, but you ever read around that particular passage? It's very interesting, really. The section that starts to talk about the Lord's Supper begins like this. Verse 17, 1 Corinthians 11, verse 17. And the following directives, I have no praise for you. Did you think that was what came before this? For your meetings do more harm than good. I've been to a few of those. In the first place, I hear that when you come together as a church, there are divisions among you, and to some extent, I believe it. Isn't it interesting that that's the context of this? And what Paul is trying to speak to here is the larger reality that goes deeper than our divisions, represented here. Now, I give you an example here. Russ and Johnny, stand up a second. Both of you guys stand up here for a second. They're going to help us out. They're our servants today to help us out. And turn around, look at the good folks. They're going to help us out with our service today. If you want traditional communion, you're going to want to come to Russ. If you want Colorado communion, Johnny's your man. Now, there was a day, and I've been in places, where if you weren't dressed like Russ, you weren't fit for communion. I've been in other places where if you weren't dressed like Johnny, you're pretentious, and what are you doing? Now, just to be fair, Russ has jeans on, so he's not 100%. Thank you, gentlemen. You can sit back down. Now, I'm not saying all disagreements are as superficial as what we're wearing. That's absolutely not true. There are deep-seated realities. But the larger reality is there's one table, and we come to it together. And we're not the first church to have deep disagreement. Apparently, the Corinthians did too. And so did the Philippians, and so did the church in Jerusalem, and so did Paul and Barnabas. But there's still just one table, one Lord. And Paul wrote these words, verse 23, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'"
And verse 25, "In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me.'"
Now we're going to pray. Molly and I will kneel. You can remain seated. We will kneel and pray blessing over these emblems, that the Lord will recognize this as the special service that is it, that it is, that his Holy Spirit will be here and inhabit this experience, and that these emblems will be blessed. After that, I will give you instructions on how we will receive them. But at this time, we will pray. Father in heaven, we pray right now your blessing over the bread here that represents the broken body of Jesus. Lord, we pray that in the reality that Jesus' body was broken for us on that night when he lifted the bread, he said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." That in fact, Lord, as we receive this emblem, we will remember the sacrifice of Jesus on our behalf. And from that, from this act and from that memory, we will gain strength in our own flesh to live faithful lives for Jesus.
And Jesus, I just pray a blessing over this drink that represents your blood that washed away our sins. It makes me think of this song, "What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus." And just brings back the verse that by your wounds we are healed. And I just pray healing today over each heart that is here, over each household that is represented here today. I pray for healing and reconciliation, that in remembering what you did for us and how you have healed us, I pray that you heal us again today. And we just praise you for what you have done for us, what you do in us, and what you can do through us. Thank you for living and dying and raising again and then living in us. We love you so much, Jesus. But most of all, thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. So I'm going to ask Russ and Johnny to come now. And Debbie's going to come and help out and make sure that they have what they need. They're going to stand at the ends of each of these rows here, and we're going to ask you to come up these middle aisles to them, receive your emblems, and then make your way back on the outside there. So we'll try to keep that moving. Tony and or others will be here to help keep everybody going. But as you see the row in front of you done, make your way around. We do have some gluten-free bread here in the middle if that is an important thing for you. So come now and receive these emblems. Hold on to them, and we will partake together at the end of the service. Has everyone been served? Very good. Yes, we got Mark. Thank you. So, simple things that represent eternal realities. What a privilege we have to participate in this reality that has gone on some 2,000 years. Those whose trust and faith are in Jesus for the forgiveness of sins, and those whose confidence is in his promise to return. If that's you, then take this bread, receive it now, the broken body of Christ. Found one more.
And then we take the drink that represents Jesus' blood. Take and drink in remembrance of him.
So contained within this act that you have participated is a testimony. Verse 26, for whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. I've stood here many times and told you Jesus died for your sins, but I've never said it more beautifully than you have performed it now. So may our faith be strong from now until Jesus comes again. We invite the band back now to lead us in songs as we come to the close of this portion of our service. I pray that the mind of Christ will be in you. And if you've experienced any blessing from your walk in the Spirit, that you will be of the same mind and share that blessing with others. Let's pray. Father in heaven, may our worship today be acceptable in your sight. And may we be united with each other at the deep level of the reality that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior of all. Before him every knee bows, to the glory of God the Father. In Jesus' name, amen.